Hey, welcome. It's great to have you with us here today. I want to welcome you here in the West Venue and in the East Venue on the online stream. And those that are on the online stream over at the Toyota Center, they're always working on Sundays, but they're listening to us. That's awesome. So glad to have you with us today. If we haven't met before, by the way, I'm Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And let me just tell you what we're doing right now. We started last week a new series, and we're going to continue it today, and it's going to go for the rest of this month. We're calling it Change Your Thinking, Change Your Mind. Think about that again. Change your thinking, change your life. Do you believe that if you change your thinking, your life can actually change as well? I believe that. Scripture seems to indicate that. That's what we've been looking at in Scripture. In fact, I want to give you a couple things to just kind of catch us up in case you weren't here last week. By the way, if you want to get on to last week's message, you can go to the app or our website, and you can get the video, the notes, all that kind of stuff there. But to catch up really quickly, let me talk about something that we talked about last week, and I'm going to put it in your notes, and it's this. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. Do you believe that? Good or bad? Whatever goes into your mind that's good comes out in your life, that's good. Or if anything bad that you put in your mind comes out in your life. I remember I told last week this story when I was a student going to youth group in a church. I had a youth pastor that would say, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you allow to go into your mind that's just garbage, that's wrong, it will come out in your life. But I believe the opposite is also true. If you put positive in your life, God in your life, you'll have that come out of your life as well as it goes into your mind first. Our mind is so important. Sometimes we don't realize how important our mind is. But we're going to look at something that Paul wrote about. Now, before we get to that, let me give you one more thought from last week. It's impossible to live a positive life when you are consumed with negative thoughts. Do you believe that? It's impossible to have a positive life when you are consumed with negative thoughts. If you're always negative, critical, and then you wonder, how come I don't have a positive life? Can I encourage you to go into your bathroom, and there's usually one of these things right above the sink. It's called a mirror. Oh, a mirror. You got one of those too? Okay. And look in the mirror. Because the problem why you're having a negative life is staring you in the mirror. It's you. It's me. It's us. If we do not have a positive life, it's because we oftentimes have such negative thoughts. I want to give you the verse that we started with last week and that we're kind of using every week of this series. It's written by Paul. Now, again, let me just quickly help you understand Paul. Jesus did his 3 years earthly ministry. And then he died on the cross, rose again, and then 40 days later, he ascended to heaven. And then the early church began to form. And Paul suddenly shows up on the scene. And Paul did not believe Jesus was the Son of God, did not believe that he died and rose, all this stuff, just didn't believe it. And all of a sudden, as the early church is forming, Paul is going around trying to break up these churches, arresting Christians, and history tells us that he actually had many of them executed. He had Christians executed. And all of a sudden, at some point, Jesus revealed himself, literally, even though he left the planet, Jesus spoke and revealed himself to Paul, and all of a sudden, Paul is like flipped upside down. He's like, what is going on? And suddenly, he realizes because he encountered the living Christ, and suddenly, he changes everything. The guy that was killing people is all of a sudden becoming one of them. And he becomes a Christian, and he becomes the founding father, in a sense, of the early church, because he went all over the place to different communities and started churches, then went over here and started a church over here, then started a church here. And then he would write letters to the churches that he had been a part of to encourage them. And this is what we have a lot of the books of the Bible, of the New Testament, the back half of the Bible, is letters that Paul had written. And in one of them we're going to look at, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He writes this. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, let me hit pause. Who's we? You know who he's talking to? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to followers of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, I know every week we have people here, and you may be here today in one of our venues or you're watching online right now. And you are at a point where you're like, I don't have Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. I'm not a Christian. I'm kicking the tires. I'm exploring. I'm just kind of, or maybe at some point in the past you did know Jesus, but something happened and you just kind of drifted away, and you're like kind of coming back going, I just want to see if this Jesus thing is really right for me. Can I tell you, I'm glad that you are here, but can I also tell you that this verse isn't talking about you? Because when Paul is writing this, he's talking to those that are part of the Jesus movement, those that are followers of Jesus Christ. We, followers of Christ, do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we, followers of Christ, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Oh, no. On the contrary, he says, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. And we talked about strongholds last week. Strongholds is basically this, where the enemy comes, the Satan comes in, and he whispers lies to us. And we oftentimes grab a hold and believe, you're a loser. You're always going to be broke. You're always going to be single. You're always going to whatever. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, we grab onto one of those things, and we put ourselves in the stronghold, or today we'd call it like a prison. And what we talked about last week is it's a false prison because we don't even try the door because we're in this prison because of a lie, and the lie is it's not true, and we think the door is locked, and it's not. But we believe it, and so we put ourselves in this prison. That's a stronghold. And then he goes on, he says, we, who's we? Followers of Jesus Christ he's writing to. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, anything that sets itself up against what God says in his word, what God says to us, if it is out of alignment from what God says, we take it captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Can I ask you, and don't raise your hand, but just ask it, answer it internally. Do you take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ? I'm going to tell you, a lot of us don't. We don't even know how. That is why we're doing this series. That is why we're talking last week, this week, and the next 2 weeks about this, because our thought life is so huge. What we think comes out in our life. And we got to understand this. We got to realize that there's something amazing here that God had said in his word that we haven't been applying. You see, all of us have a mental filter. We all have a mental filter. And how do we look at life through this mental filter? Now, what's a mental filter? Let me just give you an example. Let's say you wear glasses. When you pick up the frames and you put them on, they help you see the world better, right? But let's say it's still summer. It's like 100 degrees out. And let's say you and a friend, you were swimming. You both get out of the pool at the same time, and you both go over to get your glasses, and it just so happens that your friend has the same frames that you do, right? And you pick up by accident, you think they're yours, but they're actually your friend's. You put them on, and you're like, wow, what happened to my eyesight, right? And then all of a sudden, wow, you look funny. Well, you always looked funny, but you look funnier now. I mean, all of a sudden you can't see because everything's like distorted, right? And your friend's doing the same thing going, yeah, mine too. It's because you got on the wrong lenses. When we do that, it perceives differently what we see, what we experience. That's how our mental filter is. We can choose, but so often we don't. We can choose. Do we have a negative filter or do we have a positive filter? Let me give you some examples. Let's say you're at work, and you've got a boss or a supervisor comes in, and they're giving you like a review. And this boss or supervisor is giving you a review, and then a little bit later he's going to give another person the same information. This person here hears the review from their boss, and they get angry, they get mad. Oh, you don't think I'm doing a good job. Oh, well, this job isn't, and they threaten to quit. This person over here, exact same, I mean, same employee, I mean, same work ethics, everything. This one over here gets the same information from the boss. But this person goes, thank you. Now I know what you're looking for. Now I know what you want. I can adjust to that. Thank you for letting me know. Exact same information to two different employees, right? One is mad, angry, ready to quit. The other one is, thank you. I know what you want, and I can do that better. Why is the what's the difference? It's the lens we're looking at. It's our mental filter. Are we more negative or are we more positive? Let me give you another example. Sometimes when people come into church here that are new, like for example, you may be here new today. You are new to the church and you walk in, but when you walk in, you're walking in and you don't really like church. You walk in and go, Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. They think they know it all. They think they're the judge of the world. They're just a whole bunch of hypocrites. Can I tell you, if you're new here today or newer and you walk in and you got that kind of mental filter, you're probably not going to have a good experience today, right? But did you know that as you walked in, there was somebody else that was new today that walked in right behind you? And they're thinking something like this. They're thinking, you know what? Christians aren't perfect. They have problems. But you know what? God loves them and God uses them and God uses churches. That person, I'm going to guess, is probably going to have a better day today. They're going to like the church a little bit more. Because we come with these filters, negative or positive. Which one are you more like? Did you know that this even affects how we look at God the Father? Studies have shown us this. If you had an earthly father that was abusive, manipulative, judgmental, maybe not even in the picture, critical. If you had a dad like that, studies show that many people think of our heavenly Father that way. But studies also show this, that if you had a father that was there, that cared, that spent time with you, that loved you, that supported you, if you had a father like that, studies show that most of the time we think of God, our heavenly Father, that way as well. So where's your filter? Is your filter more negative or more positive? Now, I'm asking you to answer that for yourself, okay? Some of you right now, in whatever venue you're in, some of you right now are sitting there and you're thinking of somebody else and you're going like this. You're not trying to point to it, right? Right? And what you don't see is they're sitting right next to you going like this, right? They're trying to point to you. Because so often, let's be honest, we can see it so much easier in other people. But can I tell you, they can see it so much easier in you as well. Answer it for yourself. Are you more of a negative filter or are you more of a positive filter? Which one, be honest with yourself, which one are you? So today we're going to talk about what we call reframing. How do we reframe things? How do we put on different lenses so that we're not negative, that we're more positive? We're looking for the good things. We're looking for the God things. What do we do? How do we do that? Let me give you a little story. There was a boy one time, a little boy. He was telling all of his friends, I am the best hitter in baseball. I am the world's best hitter in baseball. And they're like, oh, sure you are. But he was just pumping himself up. I'm the best batter. I can bat better than anybody. I'm amazing. One day he goes in his backyard. He's been in the backyard by himself. He picks up his bat, picks up a ball. He throws the ball in the air, swings at it, misses. He goes, I'm still the best batter ever. Picks the ball back up, throws it up, goes to hit, missed again. I'm still the best batter ever. Grabs the ball a third time, picks it up, throws it, goes to hit it, misses. And all of a sudden, the boy changes. He goes, wow, I never realized. Not only am I the best batter, I'm the best pitcher in the world. Because I just struck out the best batter in the world, right? That kid has a positive mental filter. He's good at everything, right? Where's your mental filter? If people that you know and love, good friends, good coworkers, spouse, kids, what would they say? If you gave them permission, what would they say? If you honestly said, you can tell me whatever and it won't offend me, would they tell you that you oftentimes seem to be more negative than you are positive? And if they told you that, would you get angry at them? And if you do, that just proves that they are right. Wow. How do we think different? How do we change our filter? How do we focus more on positive in God and not all the negatives? Because I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for negative, you'll find it. You will find it everywhere. It happens all over in our society. You see it on social media. You see it in the news. You see it everywhere. You can find it everywhere. Let me give you something for your notes. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. You and I cannot control what happens to us in this life, but you and I can control how we are going to frame it. Can I tell you about Paul? Paul, who we just read that verse just a little bit ago, Paul was amazing when it comes to reframing things. Now, let me just kind of give you the background before we start reading it. Paul had a plan. Paul's plan was once Jesus appeared to him and he just turned upside down and all of a sudden he became a Christian and started churches, he had a plan. And his plan was this. Paul's plan was, I want to go to Rome and I want to preach to the leaders in Rome, and I believe that many of them will get saved and come into relationship with Jesus. And because they come into relationship with Jesus, they then will start telling other people and they will lead the way. And all of a sudden, at that point, the then known world in the first century, he believed, would be won to Jesus through the leaders of Rome. That was his plan. But plans didn't quite work out the way he thought. What happened is this. He went to Rome, but instead of being able to preach and teach and talk to the leaders of Rome and preach to them and have them become saved and reach the rest of the world, instead what happened is when he got to Rome, he was arrested. And he was put in house arrest. And he would be chained on the arm to a Roman guard for 8 hours a day. And then when that guy's shift is done, another guard would come for the next 8 hours. And when his shift is done, another would come for... So three different guards, 8 hours a day for the whole day. And then it starts all over again the next day. That's what happened. He had a plan. His plan was, I'm going to go speak to the leaders, get them saved, and it's going to go around the world. But when he got there, the plan didn't happen. He was arrested. And some of you are in the same place. You had plans, and it just didn't seem to quite happen the way you thought. Some of you went to school and got a degree. I want to get a degree in this so I can go into this job when I'm done. And you went and you got the degree. And you came out of school, but for whatever reason, you weren't hired in that position. And so you're doing something that you're not even using your degree with. And you're like, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? I had a plan, and it's not working. Some of you, you had a plan as well. Your plan was you wanted to marry your sweetheart from high school. You dated through high school. You wanted to marry your sweetheart. And you know, once I married my sweetheart, we're going to have an amazing marriage. And part of the plan didn't work. You did marry your high school sweetheart. But she didn't, or he didn't, stay a sweetheart. They became a terror. And you're like, God, what happened? We were so good in high school. But all of a sudden, we get married, and a little bit of age gets, and all of a sudden, we're like, what happened? He's not the same. She's not the same. I had a plan, God. Where are you? What's going on? You see, we oftentimes have plans like that, but they don't always work out. Sometimes we think, when I get to this age, I want to be at this level. And over time, you get to this age, but you're only at this level. And you're like, God, I had a plan. I wanted to be here, but I'm down here. What's going on? I had a plan, God. Where are you? Can I tell you that Paul had a plan, and it didn't work for him either? In fact, in Philippians 1, verse 12 and 13, Paul writes this, and this is something that he didn't say, but he could have, and we're going to read it out of the NW version. This is the New Winers version. Okay, this is what he could have said, but he didn't say, okay? He could have said this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really sucks, right? He could have said that, right? As a result of huge struggles I've been through, I'm quitting small group, I'm not going to, and I'm never going back to the church again. He could have said that. He could have said, look, I had a plan, and it didn't work out, and I'm in prison, and I'm chained to guards 8 hours at a time, different guards all the time, every 8 hours. This was not my plan. He could have just simply said, this sucks, I don't like it, I'm not coming back to church, I'm not going to small group, goodbye. He could have said that, right? But I want you instead to look at what he actually said in Philippians 1, verses 12 and 13. Listen to what he actually says. He says this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, in other words, what he's saying, I had a plan, I wanted to go preach to the leaders, get them saved, they're going to take the, but that didn't happen, but I'm a prisoner in Rome. I can't control what happens to me, but I can control how I frame it. So he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually, now listen to this, listen, has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. In other words, what he is saying, I had a plan, it didn't work out. Instead of me preaching to these leaders, I was arrested, and now I've got for 8 hours a day a different guard tied to me, chained to me. And guess what's happening? I have this guy for 8 hours, and so you know what I'm doing for 8 hours? I'm preaching to him. I'm preaching to this guard. And then when his 8 hours are done, another guard comes, and he's on my arm for 8 hours. I'm preaching to him for 8 hours. And that verse we just talked about says, he writes that the whole palace guard knows, everybody knows. In other words, what's happening is that he had a plan to preach to the leaders, but God had a better plan. God wanted me to be arrested and have these influential guards on me. And I'm speaking to them for 8 hours a day. And then they're going and they're telling other people about what I said. And the whole palace knows about it. The whole palace knows about it. And basically what I hear him saying is, so who do you think is the real prisoner? It's not me. It's that guard that's on my arm 8 hours a day. Because I'm preaching to him for 8 hours. I'm telling him about Jesus. And he's leaving and telling other people. And the whole palace knows about it. I'm not the prisoner. God had a plan. I thought I was going to go directly to the leaders. Instead, God's using me through this influential Roman soldiers. And they're telling the leaders that it's going a different way. God's amazing. See, he could say, oh, I wanted to speak to the leaders. I wanted to do that. But instead, he's going, this is a crazy, amazing. God had a better plan. Woo! Verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In other words, what he is saying, he is saying that because I am chained for 8 hours and then chained again for another 8 hours to a different person, and I'm preaching to these guys and they're getting saved and they're going telling the leaders, all of a sudden that didn't scare the other Christians. They're going, wow, he's in prison and he's doing amazing. So that gave them hope. Hey, even if we get arrested, we're going to start preaching. We're going to start telling people about Jesus. We're going to share about Jesus. And all of a sudden this thing just exploded. And all of a sudden people all over Rome were getting saved. And it was going beyond Rome. See, God had a better plan. Oh, it wasn't the plan that Paul had, but God had a better plan. So how do we reframe our mind? How do we reframe the filter in our mind to go from negative to more positive? Well, today I want to give us some application. We're going to talk about three ways to reframe relationships and situations that we have in our life. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this. First one is this. When you have a bad day or a bad month or a bad year, whatever, if you have a bad whatever, thank God for what didn't happen. Thank God for what didn't happen. Let me give you an example. This is probably a story you've heard before. There was a couple that had a daughter. She grew up. She turned 18, and she went off to the university. Probably a couple months later, she came home, and she wanted to talk to her parents. So she came home, asked her mom and dad to sit down, and she began to tell them this. Mom, Dad, I got to tell you something. She said, a few months back, I was at a party, and I met a guy, and I got a little drunk. Drank too much. Ended up going back to his place. Long story short, I'm pregnant with twins. About another 6 months, I'm going to be given birth. Now, he's a good guy. You guys would like him, but he doesn't have a job yet. We're living together, but he doesn't have a job yet. You know, he has to finish rehab, and then when he's out of rehab, then he'll get a job, and we're going to try to figure it out. So we're not getting married yet, and we don't know if we're going to get married at all, but we're just kind of living together. And some of you maybe have heard a story like this from your kids. You've actually had your kids come and say something like this. And you can imagine you probably did the same thing as what the parents in the story did. Their jaws just dropped. And then their daughter said this, "I want you to also know that everything I just told you was a lie. Because what I really want to tell you is that I got a D in chemistry." And I just want you to keep that in perspective. Right? See, we got to stop and think, you know, when we have a bad day, bad month, bad year, bad whatever, we got to thank God for what didn't happen, right? You had something handed to you at work. You're supposed to get this project done, and you didn't get it done in time, so you didn't get your bonus. So we go, that's bad. I didn't get my bonus. But what can you thank God for in the middle of that? You can go, thank God I didn't lose my job. Thank God I still am employed. You know, sometimes we go, oh, I didn't get my bonus. But you still got to keep your job. We still had those. Sometimes we get in a car wreck. And when you're in a car wreck, you're like, oh, that's terrible. It's going to cost me money. It's going to cost me time to get it fixed. How do I thank God for what didn't happen? Well, you can say this. Thank God that nobody was killed. Thank God that everybody walked away from the accident. It just takes time and money to fix the car. You see, we got to stop and go, when we have a bad day, month, year, whatever, we got to stop and go, what didn't happen? So let me give you the second thing. The second thing that we need to work on is this. When we look at trying to reframe things, practice pre-framing. Practice pre-framing. What does that mean? Well, let me give you an example. I'll put it on the screen for you here. Pre-framing is this. Pre-frame your filters to determine how you see the world. We'll put it on the screen if we can. But how we see the world, what you feel, and what you do. You pre-frame these things. How do I look at the world? How do I feel? What do I do? If you pre-frame these things, this will help you as you and I go forward. Think about this. When you were in middle school is just a tough age. You know, I don't know about the middle school you went to, but, you know, middle school, you know, kids are always giving other kids, you know, cute little nicknames like Spaz, right? Stinky, loser, you know. And sometimes it just kind of sticks, right? The other kids start calling you that, right? That wasn't me. That was those other kids. But anyway, but here's the thing that what's interesting is that in this world that we live in, the world speaks things to us. The enemy, the spiritual enemy, speaks things to us, says things like this. You'll always be a loser. You'll always be broke. You'll always be alone. You'll always be fill in the blank. And we believe that. And we listen to that. How do we not listen to that negative? How do we change those things around? We pre-frame what's going to happen in the future. We pre-frame when situations like this happen. When in this case, we would say, you know what? That's what my friends say. Maybe that's what society says. That's what the enemy's saying to me. But I know what God tells me. God says I'm valuable to him. God says that I'm not here on this planet by accident. God says that I am here because he loves me and he's pursuing me and he has a purpose and a plan for me to be here. You see, when we pre-frame these things, the negative things that come to us, that we pre-frame how we're going to see and look and do, it changes us as we begin to learn to look more on the positive than the negative or the critical, which so many people often do. And let me give you one last one. Here's the last one. Look for God's goodness. Look for God's goodness every single day. I'm going to tell you, if you want to see bad, you'll find bad. If you want to see negativity, you'll find negativity. If you want to see criticism, you can criticize everything. The government, your job, your boss, agencies, this church. You could find criticism and criticize everything you want. But I'm going to tell you, if you are looking for God's goodness, you will find that. And when you begin to look for God's goodness and you look for good, all of a sudden, your relationships become better. Your thinking becomes better. Your life becomes better because you are focusing on the better. Remember, change your thinking, change your life. It's kind of like this. Are you one of these two birds? Vulture or hummingbird? Very different. What does a vulture do? A vulture looks for dead things, right? Looks for carcasses, roadkill, whatever. That's what he's looking for. Hummingbird is looking for sweet things, nectar, stuff like that. That's what it looks for. Can I ask you, what are you looking for? Are you more like a vulture, or are you more like a hummingbird? Again, do not answer this for your friends or your spouse or your kids. This is for you to answer yourself. Are you more like a vulture? Are you looking for dead things, carcasses, roadkill? Or are you looking for sweet nectar? God, what are you focused on? You see, look for God's goodness. You see, that's what happened with Paul. Paul was saying, look, I had a plan. It didn't work out the way I planned it. But you know what? It worked out better because God worked it out his way. And he was always looking for God's goodness in everything that happened in his life. Dear God, if we could only do that as well. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together today, God, you're an amazing God. And we're so thankful that you love each and every one of us here today. Those of us that have a personal relationship, you love us. Those of us that do not have a personal relationship with you right now, you love them as well. And Jesus, I know that some today are exploring relationship with you. Some have had a relationship with you but have walked away because of struggles, because of sin, because of problems, issues. But they're re-exploring and wanting to come back. Father, I thank you that you love each and every one of us. You have not put us here by accident. We are not just taking up space and time. We are here for a purpose and a reason, every one of us. And you love us, and you want to call us a son and daughter, and you want to be our Heavenly Father. And today, for those of us that know you, we simply say thank you. Will you help us to change our negative filters to positive? May we use some of the steps that we talked about today, because when we change our mind, our thinking, it'll change our life. And we thank you for that. Today, there are people that are here looking towards you, wanting to know if you are real, if you really care, if you're there. And today, I pray that they would feel your presence around them. Today, I pray as they feel your presence that there would be some that would right now just bow their heart and say, dear Jesus, forgive me. I can't do it anymore on my own. I'm making a mess of it. I need your help, and I ask for your forgiveness. And I know that you died for my sins, and you rose again so that I don't have to pay for all eternity for my sins. And because of that, you are allowing me right now to be coming into a relationship with you that will continue forever and ever and ever, this life and the next. So Jesus, I thank you for those that are coming to you for the first time or coming back. And we celebrate that. I know that heaven throws a party every time this happens. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray.